16th of December 2018. I'll start off by saying that Canada Post, that was on this kind of rotating strike, they called it, for parcels. Anything over a letter size is a parcel. And they went back to work about a week ago, but they have a backlog of parcels to deal with, apparently, incoming, outgoing. So anyway, anything I'm sending out right now, we're probably a bit late in getting there, but it'll eventually get there. That's just the way things are these days. And at least, you know, as we go down the tubes, I think worldwide with the systems, we're at least still putting things out. Generally, the Postal Service works great when there's no other problems going on. And I hope they don't privatise that, because it is pretty efficient. Even though they have cut back over the years drastically, especially in rural areas, again, to make you all go up to a communal big postal box types where you collect your mail. Even if you're a few kilometres or miles from it, you have to go and do it. That's just the way it is. And that saves them, of course, having postal workers that literally deliver to door-to-door, basically, in the rural areas, that is. And in the winter, it's quite a thing, too, because you got to go up there. And the boxes they put in are astonishing. I've mentioned this before. When they open up them up, they got a key to open the main one up. So you got a unit there with maybe, I don't know, 12 different postal boxes in it. And a whole stack of them lined up together, but each unit's about 12 of them or so. And they open it up, and there's your little pigeonhole part. But when they close the thing, about an inch all round comes off of it because of the door. So whatever they put in there, sometimes it's too big. You can't get the darn thing out. Once the customer opens their door, you can't get a darn thing. You've got to cut it out of the box or rip it apart inside it and then take it out piece by piece. That's how it works, really. But that's just the way things are going these days. But so anybody who's waiting for something, don't worry, you'll get it eventually as things get cleared up, all the backlogs and everything else. I mentioned, too, that there's a few days of thaw here, so it's quite nice. Actually, it's a couple of days of thaw, a partial thaw of the snow that came really early this year again, and because of global warming. And what it is now is a standard thing you get, generally maybe in the first week or two of January, you sometimes get it. And sometimes it's later, not sometimes it's earlier, so this is an earlier time for maybe get a week out of it, who knows, or a few days at least. And it helps to get some of the snow down. And in the country areas, it sometimes helps if you've got dirt roads, because the ice will form into the gravel and get more solid there, and then there's a little bit of snow on top, and then you got a grip again, and it really helps to an extent when you're travelling over it, especially if you've got little hills there. And I certainly do have little hills. Remember, too, that you get the books and discs to order at cuttingthroughthematrix.com for those who want to do it. There's lots of discs as well you can also order, and they're a bit better quality than what goes over the blog, basically. They're clearer too. Plus, you got a copy for as long as you want to keep them in good repair. Also, I always tell people to go into the site and see the other sites. I do have my official sites. They're all listed there. And you can order from my official sites, including not just cuttingthroughthematrix.whatever, but you've also got Alan Watt Sentient Sentinel.eu, and you can order there as well. So remember, anything that's not my sites, it doesn't take you to my sites, it's not mine. And I've had this problem over the years of folk just literally printing them up and doing it by themselves and so, and pretending they're me. And that's the world we live in today too, mind you. And it'll get a lot worse as we get more and more global, because there's not enough work for the global society, is there? And the con people, the ones who generally get to the top of the tree, do it through politics or something. But there's too many of them now too going into politics, so they've got to do it many other ways. And the psychopathic types find very quick ways to make money off of everybody else. That's just what they do. And since the system now, as I mentioned last week, isn't really penalising people, even for hard crime, for stabbings and things, they're not doing it the same way, or raping children in some cases, then get used to it, I suppose. That's the message we're getting, because that's what the public will take from all these news articles from the general media. So we are going down the tubes, and we're being told, in other words, that everything's changed. Everything's changed. The old system is still owned by the same groups that owned it before, We're all owned and ruled, basically, by the big banks that set up this monopoly across the planet called Central Banking System, with its IMF and its World Bank and its Bank for International Settlements. Same group that said Alfred Milner, who set up his group, transformed into the Royal Institute for International Affairs - Council on Foreign Relations. I mean, he was a banker, remember, and many of his other proteges were as well. International, of course. And they wanted an international world system, even government. They used the British taxpayer to fund it all for them into existence, and used the military as well. Very well organized when you think about it. And even made people awfully patriotic to go off and fight for an empire that some people, generally as they got older, says, well, what on earth are we doing there anyway? Really, because it wasn't for the people. You got nothing from it. But the ones at the top did, of course. I'll maybe do a talk on that eventually, because I've got a lot of data. I've given out stuff before, but a lot of data on the conditions the people lived in Britain during that whole period. You wouldn't believe it. Most folk didn't have shoes, you know, in working class areas, all the way up into the 20th century, into World War I. Not kidding you, you know. It's so well hidden, isn't it, with all these BBC dramas where they have the girls and the coaches and the footmen and the big mansions and so on that belong to the bankers of the day. That's what they really use for all that. But the reality of the majority of the public, they were not living like anything in those conditions at all. And some of them were actually still dying of dysentery into the early 20th century, with no running water, no sewage facilities, and so in the big cities. But they've trained people that was completely different. That's quite amazing when you think about it. It didn't take too much with an overall control system to do that. And it's worse today, since they're actually teaching in the universities all this white privilege stuff that really wasn't true for most people at all. And don't forget, too, any people can be used to go out and brutalize other people. So you get a poor bunch, get them dressed up in a uniform. It has still happened today across the world, with different countries involved in these kind of things. And then you use the brutalized folk to then go out and brutalize other people. So don't blame what you see as a front group. They can use anybody as a front group to do their dirty work for them. It's just too easy, isn't it? And folk who have been brutalized themselves with poverty. And don't forget, with poverty comes a lot of fear in a system where poverty isn't really tolerated very well. Don't forget, in the UK and Britain, poverty was seen as a disease. It wasn't just a social disease, it was a disease that the people had inferior genes and bad stock and all that stuff. That's what they said. And those folk, literally, it was a crime to be poor. It literally was. And that was institutionalized in the Victorian reign into the Georgian reign as well. We're living in amazing times today to watch the camouflage, the complete backtracking, and the covering up of what was. And it's happening in a lot of countries across the world at the same time. Even as we live, isn't it? We've all lived through the last, what would you say, 20, almost 30 years of wars in the Middle East. 30 years, actually. That's not counting the previous ones with the ongoing supports of Al-Qaeda that was meant to fight the Soviet Union. And it's been continuous, really, with the West and different entities funding different groups, radicalizing them, actually, you know, training them, in fact, and using them right to the present time. We're watching it back and forth. And as we do it, you'll find even organizations that are up there doing a lot of this stuff are now targeting people who mention it. Like, you're not supposed to anymore. Like, you're supposed to have no memory of what was going on before. Even though it was printed in a lot of papers, including the CFR's own magazines, that ISIS was their best ally now, or could be their best ally. It's astonishing how quickly reality is changing, isn't it? Authority tells you that it's changing, and that's what you do. Just change it now. And there's always a slight threat behind it. Some of the newspapers are on board with this, threatening other people's in the media. If you don't go along with the agenda, they're getting rather nasty about it. Don't think for a second that things cannot turn nasty, because first comes the threat to conform and shut up. And the next stage is obviously more severe, put it that way, really. And the big boys themselves are putting out lots of messages of what you're supposed to believe, that the stuff that you can repeat from years ago, from their own newspapers at times, you're a conspiracy theorist if you mention them. Well, they're still there, they're still out there from the big newspapers of the day. We're in Orwell's 1984, where Brian tells Winston, he says, if I say I can fly, you'll believe it. Yeah, I can fly. And you believe how many fingers I hold up or the number that I tell you they are, not what you see. And eventually you'll see what I tell you they are. You understand? Reality itself has been really challenged today. But it always comes back to the same old 1984 method of really threatening people, really threatening them to conform. And the threats are rather nasty. They're always brutish to an extent. But the message is loud and clear. You better see four fingers, or two and two will be five, you better say, you know. Or whatever it is you're told to say. That's what Orwell was trying to get through to you. It's always the same thing of tyranny. It always takes the same form. And I don't care what country it is, they all use it. They've all used it and still do, always. We live in a very brutal system. A very brutal system. And under we're so evolved now, and we're so polished, and we're so intelligent today. All this nonsense. It's not a veneer of nonsense. That somehow things have changed. Nothing's changed. The same brutes of power are in control. They always are in control. Governments tolerate to an extent nuisances, and have different ways of getting rid of them or defaming them or whatever it happens to be. But they always, you know, there's dirty tricks was out there too. Sure there are. They've always been out there. Always. I can remember when people initially, you know, we get initial shocks and then we're immediately misled off them into other weird topics that grab your attention, that are intentionally put out there to get you off the fact you're seeing brutality. You might be talking about brutality that you see. And but it's immediately gone, or they give you a financial crash or something like that. And I can remember the extraordinary renditions, as it called, kidnapping people and taking them to other places that they're prearranged and torturing them. Now, all our governments have been involved in this. All of them. All of these wonderful, sophisticated, advanced systems in which we are told that we live in. That put out movies and dramas about the bad ones. It's always somewhere else, right? To make you think that you're so spotless and clean. But all our countries were doing the same thing, and still are, I'm sure. It won't stop just with people from certain nations. They'll do it within their own nations. Absolutely. As things get worse. That's what always happens in every country. Those who seek power are always involved in being brutish. And since there's more to cover up in all our systems of power, everywhere, in every country, then the more brutish they are. There are too many people, important people, with things to lose. And the system we live in is so incredible. I really believe it's really corrupt. It's not a real system. How can it be a real system when all you get to do is vote for a face every so often you've never seen before? Who says nonsense to you, and they give you local politicians. Well, I'm for your area. I'm your representative. Really? Well, once they're in and you have a problem about what their parties are up to or whatever, your cash and the whole bit in your area, that politician's going, well, I can't really help you there. I'll look into it, but I can't really help you because I must go with the party on this one. Well, what's the point in voting them? Local representatives, what's the point in voting them in? What is it? Tell me. What was the point? Cost more money. Why don't you get three different parties or four, whoever it happens to be, take the leaders, and they're the party, and you can vote for the. And you've once you get in, of course, you've got less wages to spend. What's the point in having a yes man or woman or whatever these days? What's the point of it? Because any important decision, you don't get any say in at all. Any say whatsoever at all. Whether it's war, whether it's taxation of any kind, whether it's changing the system in which you live, you don't get any say in that either, you know. You have no say in this strange, mystical system of central banking that has no, where money is based on nothing behind it. And yet they have to go to university to find out how to manage all these IOUs based on nothing. What a farce that is, isn't it? It's the same with income tax. I've always said, if the average person cannot figure out at a glance what they want, and they have to go to somebody who understands it all for them, or one of these walk-in places at tax time and malls and so on. If it's set up like that, then there's a con going on. What's simple about adding and subtracting? What's difficult, I should say, about adding and subtracting? What's difficult about that? I mean, it's ridiculous. It should be very, very simple. And since they're going to take it off you anyway, just say, the government should just say, we want, you know, half of you what you earn. You understand? That's what it should be. But again, don't forget, it's voluntary. It is voluntary. Because they had all the arguments before. They brought in the temporary war tax in World War I. They stayed here forever. And the victory tax in other countries stayed there forever. Before that, the reason that it was going to be temporary is because they had to have your consent to allow it during a crisis period, because it was illegal to tax the public for their labour. Taxing them on labour was considered to be slavery. For those who don't remember and don't know, well, it's normal now, isn't it? So we truly live in a system of intense indoctrination. Intense, really. It's astonishing. Really, I am astonished at how they can cover the history in the making as we're living through it. And a few years after the main events, they can reverse it or change or eradicate it, just like Orwell's 1984 memory hole. It just disappears. It's gone. Astonishing, isn't it? We're living through it. It's fascinating to watch it. It truly is fascinating to watch it. It's also fascinating to read the supposed exposés on individual people who write or blog or whatever, being hammered by the big boys, being hammered by them, with paid professional propagandist organisations attached to military organisations. It's astonishing to watch this happening. And we're living through it. But the folk think, well, I'm okay, I've done nothing wrong, I'll be okay. That's how it's always, isn't it? I'll get along, I'll be okay, they won't notice me. I'll just keep my head down and be good, as they say. But we're living in such a transient stage, isn't it? Everything's always transient with us now. It's hard to believe that all across the world, for not too long ago, generations would pass, generations and generations, where, you know, a fixed class system, especially in Europe, and worse in some countries than others. And most folk just stayed in, and just like India, same as India, people have stayed in their class system. They didn't know any better to try and even move out of it. At one time, they couldn't move out of it. If you were a serf, you came with the land. The Lord owned the land, and you were sold along with the land and the property. It wasn't your property. You'd farm the land for them, tenant farmers, but you owned nothing, basically. Nothing much has changed in a sense, really, except we're not even allowed to go on the land anymore to do much farming. There's so many laws and regulations to keep you off of it, especially in the farming area, because they don't really want farming. It's another story again. I might even do one of them if I remember to do that, on what's been happening in the West by a law and legislation to do with reducing the amount of farms, which has been awfully successful over the last 20-odd years especially. But most folk don't know these things. They think they don't. If you don't get clues of things given to you, most folk won't catch them at all. And again, why doesn't the mainstream media tell you, and especially your television, what's been going on and what is going on in your lifetime? Never mind the oohs and ahs things. Oh, there's lots of sex going on. My goodness, you wouldn't believe what these folk are doing now. Blah 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 blah. That's nonsense. That's trivia to me. The things that really matter, they never tell you about. They just don't seem to think it worthwhile to mention it. Like the government has literally ordered the vast reduction of farms over the years from the very top. And that the United Nations said, along even before that, that farming was just too important to be left to farmers. They wanted the big agribusinesses to take it all over. And like everything else, there's many ways to get you off the land and to stop you farming by increasing prices and things that you'll need through monopolies. Everything in farming today is owned by monopolies. It's your GM this and GM that, and their pesticides too go along with it. Easy to get you off. And if government just ups your taxes a little bit, that's you done for, you see. Or they tell the banks, raise your interest rates on your, and that's it, you're under again. Many ways to get you off the land. And that's really how it's done, isn't it? But it was mandated, it's put into law and worked into effect. That's how things really do work. So we're living in a global system that was always the intention of it. The global system had nothing to do with liberty, equality, fraternity for the general population, believe you me, never ever. A democracy never had anything to do with it. Democracy is a term which those who push it have never believed in, and they're quite open about that. The Club of Rome mentioned that democracy would never work. There are too many competing factions, which is true, isn't it true? Look around you. Look at all the groups that are fighting each other just on the internet and in chat rooms and so on. And they keep creating more groups all the time, and often funded from the very top to create this whole scenario. Because eventually you're going to be told from the top, after the next big crash, by the way, you have to go into a new system of being governed. I've read the articles from the UN over the years, and the Club of Rome, the big think tank for this agenda, the ones who dreamt up the whole environmental system to be used. It's all your fault, but the climate and everything else, to take away your rights. And how you're going to live and where you're going to live. And it was all dreamt up by them. That was their task at the time, to find a reason for it. So they hit on, they said, man would be the fault of all of this. So we hit upon the idea of global warming and famine and pestilence and drought, etc. That would fit the bill. It was man's problem. Man caused it. That would fit the bill. And we live through it all, and they just ignore what they said to you when you mention it and continue with the international panel on climate change, which, again, we don't vote for, like any other institution at the United Nations, that somehow can just have stuff drafted up for it that everybody signs, and your leaders, your supposed leaders, sign into law in effect, and you suffer through austerity, and you'll be taught shortly that you can't eat meat. They've had these discussions of weaning you off meat big time. And when you do that, they're going to bring you into a form of control. Can't eat meat, you've got to get other protein supplements and enzymes and so on. Well, then you have monopolies already set up. They'll be the ones that they're authorized to dish this stuff out at a very high price too. But you're not going to feel the same at all again. One thing, I did talks many years ago back in the 90s about control over centuries, even thousands of years ago, how it was known how different rulers with their priesthoods and the different intelligentsia of their day used diet to keep the people in a lethargic state with just enough energy to do the work that was demanded of them. Given a type of food that really did dull the IQ, really did dull them, and that can happen to everybody even today. We know that. This is all well documented from even a long, long, long time ago. Rulers know this stuff. The Machiavellian types of characters, the advisors to governments and kings and queens, were well versed in the histories of managing, as they call it, vast herds of people. And today, it's much, much bigger, because our tax money now employs millions across the whole planet. The whole planet. They're involved in managing us all in all kinds of ways. And to the general population, all they see is the faces they're supposed to see, the politicians. Politicians are like Punch and Judy shows that you throw tomatoes at and go, oh, get them out. Oh. That's what they are. They're meant to take heat. But they know to do what they're told when they're in office. And they're awfully well rewarded for it. But they're not there to serve the public. They definitely are not there to serve the public. How come politicians across the world will go along with the same global agenda, all the different parts of the same global agenda? How come? Why is that? Because they're pre-selected before they're allowed to even be known to the public. And they're pre-selected by the big organization that runs the planet on behalf of their masters, because there's masters above them. That's really how it really is. As I say, I've done too many talks and all. There's too much history out there about it all. What can you do about it? You're not living in what you thought was a democracy, although they keep telling you are. You really are not living in what you think is a democracy. And even in the US, they had a constitution for maybe 5 minutes, I think, before it was taken over and demolished. It didn't take long, really, for the same global agenda to take place. And once, of course, they went into the late 1800s, they're already merged again with the same group that ran Britain, the Milner Group, the secret group that of bankers that wanted to establish central banks across the world, which they would run in a global organization, which they got with the League of Nations, which morphed into the United Nations with World War II. Central banking, as they say. And they decide, eventually, once they had the Bretton Woods Agreement and took everybody off the gold standard eventually, then they wanted elastic money. They actually said that, even the ones who set up the Federal Reserve for the US, they actually said that in their memoirs, in their own books, that they wanted a flexible money, elastic, in other words. And that's what you have today, to suit the ones at the top. That the idea of the old British system, the old one, was pounds, shillings and pence, they called it. It was a system where they put on a value of sterling silver, a pound of sterling silver. They also had gold ones too, like sovereigns, especially up into the Georgian era. They had copper, and you had 12 pennies, that was copper pennies, to a shilling. And the shilling was silver at one point, and you had 20 shillings to the pound. So 20 silver shillings was a pound weight. That's where the pound came from. And that's how it all worked out, the value. But once they did away with all of that, so then you can bring in brass, you can bring in anything you want, and which we have today, and just plated, isn't it, in all countries. And the paper money, there's supposed to be an IOU, basically, that you could take to the bank at one time. And I can remember even old Scottish notes would say you could get it in specie. So if you took it to the bank, the specie was the sterling silver. And of course, they did away with that too. They just laugh at you now, and because there's nothing backs it, nothing at all. So it's a racket, and the racket benefits a system at the top. Everybody involved at the top with a big organization that set up in the first place, this global system, benefits incredibly well. But the rest of the public are kept in perpetual slavery through a massive debt, ever accumulating debt from the government itself. Because as they devalue your currency, that's really a hidden tax. That's really how it works. And right now, we're going into the big phase that was mentioned by the economists at the time. Even though it's all fake, as far as I'm concerned, it's based on nothing. But the economists at the time of the 2008 crash said that the full effects of this crash and the bailouts to these banks won't be really noticed by the public so much, except towards the end of at least a 10-year period. 8 to 10-year period, they said. And it hits you in shockwaves of 3, they said. Well, this is where it's coming up now. There's 10 years gone by. And bang, your currency's been drastically devalued in the last 3 or 4 years alone. Everything's shot up in price. And it's to go ahead further and further because the government gave permission to all the different industries, especially food and so on, to start jacking up their prices. Because you have to go into austerity now. I gave the talks way back then, before it even happened. I said they'd agreed to bring into austerity one way or another. And once how they do it is just start jacking up the things for essentials until all your money will go to pay for bare essentials. That's the system they're bringing in step by step by step, for those who haven't figured it out. Now, they already have mass riots planned in the future. Of course there will be, as things get worse, just like they did in France down the road. And every country had their preparations for rebellion worked out. When 2008 crash happened, in fact, the US had lots of articles, especially. The rest of the countries are a bit quieter about what they've done, but they did the same things of getting different organizations well-armed to deal with any internal crisis and how to deal with it all. In fact, even before the 9/11 thing happened with the so-called wars against terror and so on, they had an omnibus crime bill passed in Canada in 1998, remember, at the same time as Oklahoma City bombing went off, in fact, in the States. But in Canada, the folk were saying, what's scratching their heads? Well, this is an omnibus, this is literally a martial law type thing, with imprisonment without trial and all that, without charges, yada, 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 and suspicion. And the journalists at the time in the newspapers in Canada were scratched and said, and they published it all as Alan Rock's bill, supposedly. And they said, what do we need this for? Everything's being peaceful and quiet. Well, they knew what was coming down the pike, obviously, in order to ram it through. And they did ram it through. So everything is seen long before the public are given even the faintest after smell of it. And that's how things really are worked out. Now, the last crash and bailout they got, the government said, and the US Treasury and the Federal Reserve gave special drawing rights to even Canadian banks. The top Canadian banks all got bailouts too. And the articles were out there in the mainstream papers and then disappeared very quickly. But I kept them in, repeated them a few times over. But we have to pay them back too, naturally. It's all borrowed money. All borrowed money has interest on it too. And that's what special drawing rights means, that the government must be, your government, Canada, must have signed on. You see, you had to sign on to it by the top cabinet and the prime minister to pay that back by this amount of time or years or whatever it happens to be. And then they signed in the bail-ins for the next time, the next round, because the next one is to be a combination, because they'll get bailouts too. I mean, they always plunder the public, but they'll plunder it even worse by taking your bank accounts and so on as well. That was the bail-ins that came from the World Trade Organization and the World Bank. They had articles out across the world about that, and you can dig into it. And I posted them all ages ago too, because that's what's to happen next. Now, can you imagine how much austerity will be enforced by when that happens, when they grab your savings and also get a bailout too, so they'll land more debt on top of you too, as to take your cash away. And you're going to vote for the same system to keep going. It's always done this. Every century does it two or three times a century, generally at least two. They plunder the world and nobody goes to jail for it. That's the system. And we're taught that this is all quite normal. And don't dig into it, because you'll never it's too complicated for you to understand, peasant. Just go back to sleep. And mind you, most will go back to sleep because there's so much cheap entertainment to distract them and distract them through almost every thinking, waking moment of the day. It's astonishing. But it's not there by chance, is it? And I might even give a talk on what not to do, because I've watched the stirring up, the creation, and then the stirring up of different sides, all kinds of sides here. And groups and factions with their chips on their shoulder, all getting funded from amazing sources at times. And it's just a little bit of advice. Now, I've told folk from all different groups and countries, don't fall for it. Don't be someone's gopher for trouble. You'll get set up, you get used and tossed away. But also, don't fall. Everybody, don't fall for this group thing. Don't fall for it. Because I know there's enough angry people out there from all groups who are really furious. Getting, it's like fueling the fire, it's like building a fire underneath them, getting even more angry. For the right time, for when certain authorities might want this to happen. And I'm sure that eventually they will. But remember, whatever country you end up in, whatever country, you take yourself there. It's yourself that goes there. And if you're unhappy in one place, you're going to be pretty well unhappy somewhere else. Happiness doesn't come from out there, where out there happens to be. It doesn't happen like that. And I think even happiness is overblown. You're not supposed to be exuberantly happy like they keep telling you. There are periods where you'll be quiet. There'll be periods where you will be depressed when you understand things too. You're definitely going to have depressions. But that's what life is. Don't blame everybody else for it. Because those who lead us are awfully good with their masses of propagandists out there telling us how to feel and what we should do about it and all the rest of it, and who to even hate, for instance. You don't understand that it's beyond that. Because, as I say, this happiness thing is fine for movies, but real life doesn't have that. There's a little bit of contentment here and there, but there's a lot of anxiety in the system that's forced upon people too, where everyone's been taught that somehow they've got to get to whatever, some level of something in this life, which doesn't happen for most people. Doesn't. Especially in a system constantly morphing into a different system. I look at all the different jobs that are getting lost over the years and years and years, and robotics getting pushed everywhere, and even checkout counters and stores, big stores, where they don't want to even pay for checkout to cashiers. And do you think you're going to somehow have a career somewhere? How many folk now? If there's one job in one area, each area, and there's 500 applying or 1,000 applying to each one of them, how many is going to get employed? I can remember when Britain, years ago, had during the terrible, terrible depressions of the late 70s into the 80s, they had five jobs for engineers wanted in Australia. It's an ad in Britain, and they showed you this one of the cities in Britain, and had a cube over a mile long of folk applying for these five jobs. It was that bad there. If we were so desperate to try to get out of it, but they weren't, because they didn't realise that there's certain quota management now, all agreed upon, and it was back then too, from the United Nations and all the countries. And the United Nations is just a pawn to the same group, Royal Institute for International Affairs. They set it up. And their bankers and their foundations run it all. And their massive armies of NGOs. You see, the public are told very, very little of any truth of how their country actually works. It's a fact. We're told very little. The politicians, if we get beyond the politicians and see what the different massive levels of bureaucracy, what each level of bureaucracy is working on, then you start getting an idea of what's happening within government. Not this soap opera stuff they give us to jump on. It's just, they don't want you to understand. That's the reason for it. But as I said, stop blaming all the time. You can't keep on blaming any particular group for your own despondency. The system is not meant in this day and age to bring you happiness. Getting back to the old system, it says generations at one time could live just like their parents before them. As peasants, as serfs. They own nothing. They worked these little farms and so on in rural areas, and that was their existence. Their clothing would be the same. There's no fashion industry for the people then, not for the peasants. It'd be the same as their great-grandparents before them. Just, you know, that's how it went. This modern system really was only given by a decision at the top, give a few more pennies to the peasantry from World War II onwards, really. A brief change, that was it. Very brief, because before that it was pretty well hell for most folk. George Orwell himself was all for socialism, like many of his people of his day, when he saw the massive marches all the way down to London by workers. These weren't loud screaming marches. These were people dressed in their working clothes. That's all they owned. They didn't have different suits and different shoes for this. No, what they wore at work was what they wore in the street. And they marched all the way down to London, very quietly, orderly, to put in their petitions. That's how it used to be. But it was so impressive because it was a great... The Great Depression, I think, to be honest with you, I don't think it ever went away from Britain. I really don't think so. This brief little bit of what appears to be prosperity from maybe the 70s onwards, for a little piece for some people, not for them all, it's just it. And the throwing of credit cards at them so they can juggle credit cards for the first time. The same in Canada, that happened too. One time you needed some property to get any kind of credit at all. It was designed that way. We're well managed, I must admit, to be passive and pretty stupid too. And you're trained to be naive. Why would anybody want to keep you in the dark? Read your history. You might find out why. But we certainly don't live in reality. As I say, it's an amazing time. Now, and I knew it too, unfortunately, that when I saw the library books being ditched by the thousands in local dumps back in the 90s, because it was all in preparation for the internet coming. It shows you how they always do things way ahead. I thought a lot of these things will never be transposed onto whatever method for computer. And they're gone. And that's what's been still going. Yeah, they're still dumping stuff yet in libraries. But they're getting to the stage now, it's just the more recent novels and stuff they're dumping. There's nothing much left to dump. A lot of stuff has gone from not on disk, and the stuff on disk has often been very carefully filtered before you get it and censored. Ren George Orwell's memory hole time. down the memory hole. Anyway, sorry for babbling on, but just some of the thoughts I see these days when I hear all these different forces screaming at each other, and they don't realise that everybody's getting used here. Very carefully, very, very well managed too. And that they have so many well-trained operatives all over the place to manage us. Intelligence agencies have the most of them. Of course they do. They always have. Lawrence, who was Lawrence of Arabia, talked about it. He was recruited at university like many of his peer group. That never stopped. It always goes on. All countries do it. The CIA admitted to tap folk in universities and all the other organizations too. That's how they do it. The top civil servants, they go into the civil service, are tapped, even as high school, they're often as young as that. But they certainly train the operatives and the agitators and so on. So be very, very careful. That's what I'm saying to you. Because you bring yourself with you, and there's no instant happiness by even moving to a place. There really isn't. You take yourself with you. Well, I'm going to rattle through a few articles here because the time just flies, and again, as always. But I want to mention one to do with Macron in France, which is really something. I mean, he really got a shock, maybe they'll manage to work their way around it. But when the people themselves from all the different across France, young folks especially who've been left out of all decision making, what happens to their country and their debt and their taxation to do with even more massive debt to come if you bring in mass migration, because you pay for it all. Of course you pay for it all. And when you're broke, I mean, for every borrowing that you're and loan that your government takes on from whoever they get the nonsense from, let's borrow a bunch of nothings from whatever it is and pay them back with real stuff, real estate and so on, the public are never brought in on it. What do you think of this? So anyway, Macron got his shock when the folk just had enough. But mind you, too, it's interesting how they diverted very quickly off to the shootings in Strasbourg. And, of course, he said he'll back off from taxing the people immediately. He'll think of it, but they'll just get a way around it and sneak it in again bit by bit, a smaller bit at a time instead of just one big bit. That's what Francis Bacon suggested to the king when he said, you know, but taxation, don't do it in one big chunk. Just put a penny on this and a penny on that, and that's just back then, and a penny here and a penny there, and you'll get what you want, but they won't notice it so much. We're so well understood, you know. He really is quite amazing. He's so out of touch with it, obviously. And they're so arrogant at the top, too. Because he won't mix with ordinary people. He mixes with his own peer group, who are the secret little bunch behind him. And they think they can just say, okay, we're going to bring millions and more in and tax you more and tax you for carbon and all the rest of it, just for existing. Which, of course, is the agenda for total control. Where you can live, if you can even breed, etc., etc. I'm not kidding you. That's what all that science fiction stuff they gave you all came from lots of meetings in the past, from the futurist societies, who attended them, a lot of them, these big meetings. Also Farage, of course, Farage, the guy who supposedly got the Brexit thing on the go and walked away from it when they could have just taken a petition to the Queen and got signed in, that was it, but they didn't. I think he was more astonished that the folk wanted to leave in such an amount as they got. I really do. I thought he looked in a shock that. But anyway, he walked away from it, and we've watched the nonsense in Britain with the Leave bunch. And again, too, don't forget who really owns the country. It's not the people, right? And if they do, one way or another, it's the same London, the city of London, that will run it, obviously. They'll never let go, because they're really the financiers to the planet, and extend all the big, big money goes through those banks in London, the city of London. Always has, mind you. But they say that our politicians will betray us completely, and he tells the Leave means Leave rally. He believes there will be a second referendum, while Arch-Brexiteer Jacob Rees-Mogg claims we can do things better ourselves. But anyway, you'll find, too, that Tony Blair, of course, is out there advocating a second vote, you see. It's kind of like Mark Twain, who, he didn't say that things repeated themselves, but he said they kind of do in a sense. In other words, he said that they tend to rhyme, and that's close enough, isn't it? Because they change names and so, but they use the same process, same techniques are used over and over again. And that's what you've got with with this whole thing, so we can do things better in Britain. And there's Tony Blair saying we can vote again. It reminds me of when the folk were given the vote to join, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they kept saying no. And it was in the papers too at the time. They all wrote about it at the time. They said that they'll keep telling the public to vote till they get it right. I mean, that's what they did, isn't it? And it doesn't really matter what you vote for, because it was all planned a long time before you were even born, this whole global society and the free trade system, etc., under regional blocks. And that's not conspiracy. That was published long, long before, even before I was born. And the League of Nations talked about it too. And they've got it all, the regional world system with the trading blocks set up. Also, again, we're taught so much myth-making today. And they use people who are dead to as part of the myth. Dead folk can't come back and say, well, that's all lies or nonsense or not quite true. And so they use them all the time for that reason, because they can't say it's not quite true. But it says here, this is in Africa, it says, teachers ripped down statue of Gandhi unveiled by Ghana's president, saying the independence leader was racist as a young man in South Africa. And so anyway, the teachers at the University of Ghana pulled down the statue Wednesday, and it was first unveiled in 2016 for the heroes of Africa, and but then this is in his own writings and so on. He was rather racist to do with many of the Africans themselves. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because they always change things and use it for their own causes, you see. And I always think of Gandhi as a man who went to Oxford. That was the same area of the Milner Group, by the way. And All Souls College was there too. And that's the top members, the inner group, all belong to All Souls for life, actually, as fellows. And they went over to Africa and to try to get the Asian groups and the groups from India to have more rights for them. But in the process, he was rather blatantly nasty about the Africans themselves. So anyway, they pulled it down. But that doesn't matter. They're going to still kind of use it as a... Well, they taught us how to protest and so on, and how to have forms of protest without violence. But don't forget what Gandhi said too. He said... He did say that those who cannot stand and cannot manage and handle violence should really use the other type of protest. He didn't say don't use it, because they did have rather violent protests too. But they change reality, don't they, all the time. Also, I'd like to talk about this little bit on Trump. It says, Trump approves indefinite US presence in Syria. And so again, like everything else he's done, he's turned 180 degrees, and he says, just 5 months ago, he said he wanted to get out of Syria and bring US troops home, has approved a new strategy for indefinite extended military, diplomatic, and economic efforts there, according to senior State Department officials. So they're going to add more and more troops to it and so on. And of course, they're turning up the heat against Iran and Syria. And they've said quite openly again, 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 and folk keep forgetting it, they want a regime change. In other words, they want to change government there. The West wants to change the government, not anybody in the country. What does it matter what people in Syria want? And these are arrogance too, that come on, why are you involved in all our country's affairs? Do we have an open society here with our governments? Of course you don't. You're supposed to just stay happy and play until you die. Don't get involved in anything. Don't be a nuisance. Just be ignorant, well entertained, enjoy yourself, and be a good citizen. That's what they mean by good citizen. Don't cause any waves. Don't ask any questions. But I'll put a couple of articles up on Trump, as more folk who held out to the end actually didn't want to admit just where he'd gone with it all. But it doesn't surprise me. Also, it's interesting about these self-driving cars. They've been killing a lot of people, and more are getting killed all the time. But this is all accepted, because this is the agenda that's been obviously agreed upon by a group at the very top, above any level of the public input. that it's going to be like this anyway. But one article says we shouldn't be hitting things every 15,000 miles. Uber employee warned firm of self-driving safety risk 5 days before autonomous car struck and killed a pedestrian. Another one. So I guess that's just collateral damage to get the agenda through of self-driving cars. But eventually you won't need them because you won't be allowed to drive anyway or even go anywhere except in your little authorised area, according to the whole agenda for the 21st century. Now, a big one for Australia and Canada should listen too, because the massive overpriced housing bubble is ready to collapse again. It says Australia is warned to prepare for a severe housing collapse and banking crisis. So we're really going into it. I know we're going into it. I've no doubt at all about it. That's the way it's been planned. And we're pretty well there. As I say, this is the time for austerity. We've hit the right year for it. And they jacked up all the prices again, out of sight, way beyond any realistic value. And here we are again, ready to go. And that'll help to kick it off again. And down we go into the next part of austerity. Part of it in Australia is also that China is heavily investing in buying up houses. And of course, real estate agents are quite happy to help drum up even higher, of course, for the big commissions. And that fuels the problem. And that happens elsewhere, too. And their local folk can't afford them, the houses, anymore. And then this other one says OECD warns Australia to prepare contingency plans for a severe collapse in the housing market. So they're really pushing it up there. We're well on the way, actually. As I say, Canada's just the same, definitely. We're out of sight. And they've got some guy in the Canadian government, a kind of ombudsman-type character, who comes out every so often and warns us in Canada, but no one pays any heed to it because, I say, the real estate guys are on a roll to jack up the prices. Everybody's in greed, of course, and greed always ends up with a massive crash. And they'll start flipping the mortgages again until no one knows who owns anything, and then we'll crash again. Now, quite a few articles here on radio frequencies being used now to monitor us all in our homes. It's really an old story, because Israel had articles a few years ago where they could use a kind of all the different connections of different devices in your home, and all the transmissions, they form an image inside your home and the rooms and so on. Well, they've taken it even further, the different tech companies. And MIT is involved heavily in all this stuff, of course, to do Wi-Fi, to recognize people through their walls. Quite a few articles on that. Also, X-ray, eyes in the sky, new methods fire for 3D through wall imaging that utilizes drones and Wi-Fi as well. So that everything, when you would go this way, of course, you know, if they can do it, they'll do it. There's no such thing as, should we or not? No, they do it. That's a way of totalitarian systems. Of course it is. And another one, you really can see through walls using drones and Wi-Fi. A lot of articles. And stray Wi-Fi signals could let spies see inside closed rooms. Well, they're all spying on you, so what's the difference? Government drones are now spying on Sacramento neighborhoods without the permission of the people. Well, what does the people matter, really? You better look up the definition of people or person. I'm not kidding you. You really should, you know. And citizen. Your Google Home or Fitbit could be used against you in court. That's a good article, too. Interesting article. Where the new smart home device in your bedroom is voice activated and it's always listening, and it's now getting used in court cases and so on. So what do you expect, folks? Minority Report is here. And surveillance fears grow after Taylor Swift uses face recognition tech. So there you go. And police drones are watching you too, another article as well. And Alexa, who killed these women? US judge orders Amazon to provide Echo's audio files from the Alexa, apparently. And robot uprising. Amazon warehouse bought, using robots in the warehouses, sends 24 employees, human employees, to hospital with bear mace. It ripped open something and bear pepper spray for bears got loose, and some folk are in critical condition with this stuff getting sprayed all over the place because of this robot. So there you go, just like the movies, eh? And Facebook files patent to calculate your location in the future. And this is old stuff, really, in a way, because that was evident a long time ago. They're already doing figuring you out, all your friends, your clusters, as you call it. Intelligence agencies do it as well. If you send your materials off to different people, whatever you're writing, if you're doing a blog or whatever, they want to know who they all are, what you've got in common, etc. We're getting so heavily spied upon by our masters. It really is astonishing. Or maybe not so. Most folk don't really care. They've been trained that it's somehow normal to be spied on. Isn't that amazing? Train, like Bernays said, don't, he says, train people for your product. Well, everybody's been trained. So, what can you do, eh? The governments are not there to listen to you, that's for sure. They're too busy playing themselves with other things or ignoring you. And mandatory implementation of microchips in employees, UK government says it would likely be illegal. An article upon that too, is to try to push it. But you'll find folk will go forward, and a lot of youngsters will go for it anyway. If you see it's trendy, or James Bond has it or something in a movie, they'll want it. United Nations members, all the countries, all our countries, not our countries, but the countries we live in, put that way. The leaders have adopted the Global Migration Pact, and nobody got a vote on it. It's just done by the ones at the top, because they all belong to the same organisation. They do what they're told. They really do at the top. They really, really do. And it's quite interesting to understand what's all involved in all of it. Just like, I think Canada had the same thing. If you're getting put into a hospital in Canada and you die there, you'll automatically put down. I think Ontario, anyway, at least as an organ donor, unless you opt out of it. But if you don't know about it, then you won't opt out because you'd be dead, right? But also, too, and this is what I think would happen anyway, because I remember reading an article a while back about it, and this has changed. Anyway, it says Australians will have their organs harvested for donation unless they opt out under a new proposal to address shortfall in supply for transplants. So at one time, they used to want you to opt in, but now they're just taking for granted that they own you, and you have to actually opt out, if you know about it, that is. If you go into a hospital now, you'll be awfully careful, because someone might eye you up for what you're worth, as opposed to treating you for whatever you came in for. That's where we are in this wonderful, progressive society. Also, the BBC apparently knowingly broadcasts coded negative imagery of Corbyn. That's a politician for Labour. Top British lawyer claims, well, they're all at it now, aren't they? They've always done this kind of stuff in media. They give you negative photographs next to a person they don't like, even if the article's got nothing to do with the photograph. I mean, I've seen that many times too. Just to round it off here, if I can get to this particular story here. Oh yeah, Macron's credibility shatters, France joins Italy in budget disgrace. So there you go, budget disgrace. Get punished too by the big boys for not managing this big increase for the taxes the way he was supposed to do it. And another article too about them jumping for joy. Now that the IPCC has got their things through and got the different governments to go along and start taxing the people into the ground, basically, to save the world and put the money through their carbon tax banks. And that's, oh, the big boys again. They control the whole planet now, eh, these bankers. Any con will do, and they've done a lot of good cons, but then they can't help but win, because they're using all our tax money and lots of professional people who are experts in marketing to con us, aren't they? That's what marketing's about, making folk do something that they otherwise wouldn't want to do, or even buy, or whatever. That's what Theresa May is, really. She belongs to London Livery, the City of London. It's a kind of their own many, many guild society. And it's to do also with of professional marketers. That's where she always was. They know how to con people and lie and deceive you and get you to do things you'd rather not do, or go along with things you perhaps shouldn't go along with. That's what it's all about. I hate rushing through these talks, but that's where I'm right now too. That's just the way it is at the moment, because, as I say, you know, things are not the way they used to be. They're getting awfully tough on and threatening on people who just speak out now. As I knew it would eventually. I mentioned way back in the 90s that the internet would be a short-lived thing for freedom of speech. And they'd rein it in after they have you all hooked on the fact that you need it. See, they've made it almost a necessity for most folk. Much of it on it too is addictive. That's why the first thing they made sure everybody knew about, all the papers cheered it on. Oh my, do you know there's lots of porn on the internet? Oh my God. To make sure everybody went into it. That's the reason for it. And I knew that eventually, once they got the banking on it and everything else on it, then of course they start to take away all your rights and freedoms and privileges. And that's what they're doing on cue. They had articles back in the 90s about information warfare and the dangers of government losing control and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. They were never intended to lose control. But it was necessity that everybody get onto the internet, absolutely. By Al Gore, he pushed that thing too, that to be a necessity, and it was going to transform the world. But he also said too, it was going to change everybody, and there'd be a lot of control element in it too. So here we are. One thing about the big boys, they always tell you what they're going to do. It's just so sad that most folk won't believe them even when they tell you. Oh, they'd never do that. They say it, but they don't mean it. Yes, they do. They follow a big business plan. Big agenda, perfectly worked out. Millions of workers working for them across the planet. And think tanks. And civil services of all kinds. Even private.